You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And there's something you wanted to say?
Happy New Year's, everyone.
Thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome.
I'm sure they all wish you one, too. I'll see you in a little bit.
Okay.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's a few things we need to talk about this evening. Now, I've got to tell you right off the bat, I don't know how well we're going out. And my ears are stuffed up, and I can't even hear my own self too good through these earphones. Apparently, they've changed some equipment at the satellite uplink. And apparently, some of the other broadcasts have been distorted. I received a couple of calls today. I've discussed it with Gary Bourgeois. I've turned down my input gain on the Comrex over a quarter of a turn, which is quite an adjustment. And I'm not worried about being too low on volume because they can crank me up at the uplink. But if I'm too high, they can't crank me down. So, we'll just have to find out tomorrow whether anybody heard me and what it is they heard. And later on, if I get a chance, we'll go to the phones. And if there's any distortion or problems, then you can let me know then if we get to the phones. I've never been able to figure out what it is he says at the end of that recording. Folks, the people in Texas have apparently discovered some problems in the manner in which the state of Texas was absorbed, so to speak, into the Union. And so they have challenged that action, the statehood of Texas, and submitted their challenge to the Texas Supreme Court, which said they didn't have jurisdiction. Well, if they don't have jurisdiction, I sure in the world don't know why that wouldn't be a beginning place. I don't know why the Supreme Court of Texas tossed it out. They didn't toss it out. They said they didn't have jurisdiction is what they said. So a group of people in the state of Texas have declared themselves separate from the Union and have established a transitional government of the Republic of Texas. And I have a whole fistful of documents here. But there's something really wrong with this. Now, don't get me wrong, I wish them well. If it's really true, and if they have the law on their side, and if they have a strong militia that's willing to enforce what they're doing, in case somebody comes and tries to slap them down, then I wish them well, and would help them in any way that I could. But there's something really wrong with this. And they've established an embassy. They've established a, I guess, a capital. They have a president, a vice president, a treasurer, secretary of state, and all of those things. And they have executed all these legal documents. Document number one is a declaration of perfection of the transitional government of the Republic of Texas, dated December 13, 1995. The first sentence came to be heard in accordance with the laws of nations and under provisions of its original and amended foundings. Under the common law is the law of the land, and after open testimony of expert witnesses and evidence in support to perfect the reinstitution of the sovereignty of the soil of Texas under its lawful standings as the Republic of Texas and to dissolve the military foreign government which has ruled over its soil since 1865. They're talking about sovereignty here, reinstitution of the sovereignty of the soil of Texas. That after properly certifying a quorum was present, the General Council of the Republic of Texas so convened a High Court of Admiralty under the common law of the nation for purposes of finally establishing its lawful standings as a nation and in its rights on the land eminent domain, ex rel, the Republic, the people of the Republic of Texas. Therefore, the findings and judgment of this court under the laws of nations that by this final act and declaration that the eminent domain on the soil of Texas is now hereby lawfully restored to the lawful government known as the Republic of Texas and to the people of the Republic of Texas who so claim citizenship as the aggregate sovereign body both individually and collectively, executed this the 13th day of our Lord in the year 1995. The president, I guess, is John Craig Van Kirk. I don't know if they held elections or what. And I don't know how they decided what would be a legal election because, well, I just don't know how they did that. I don't even know if they did hold elections. Vice president is Roger Gary. Secretary of Council is Ruth Klaus. Treasurer, Daryl Dean Franks. Auditor is Coolidge Gerdes. Secretary of Defense, Archie Lowe, and I hope he has a good defense, and I mean a real good military organization to defend what they're doing, because they'll need one, probably. Secretary of Plans, Powers, Constitution, and Convention, Donald Joe Varnell. Counsel General, Robert Taylor. Secretary of Judicial Affairs, Tim McMahon. Secretary of Agriculture, Environment, and Community Survivability, whatever that means, Alan Thorne Bacon. Secretary of Commerce and Trade, William Johnston. Secretary of Science and Technologies, David E. Carney. And I got to tell you, I really hope that they can get away with this in some way. And if they're doing this really legal, and if they've really done their research, and they can establish their points of law, and if the Texas Supreme Court really did say they don't have jurisdiction, that gives them a lot of credibility, whether you realize it or not. And if they have a strong militia, military organization, made up of men who are ready and willing to die for this cause, then they might realize their goal. If they're playing games, if they don't have a militia behind them to enforce what they do, and if that militia is not ready and willing to die for this cause, then they're masturbating. Feels good, but non-productive. So I don't know if they have all those things or not. If there's any way that we can help them, if they can prove to us that what they're doing is legal and lawful and right, we'll help them. If there's any way that we can help them, we'll do everything in our power to do that. So they have our pledge on that, but they're going to have to prove to us as an organization that what they're doing is legal and lawful. And if it is, it should be very easy to prove. And we have a vast organization that is capable of giving them an awful lot of help. But there's something wrong here. And it has nothing to do with what I've talked about so far. Because if their heart is in it, and they have all the things that I've discussed already, then they're well on their way. But there's something else wrong here. They're talking about establishing or reestablishing the sovereignty of the Republic of Texas as a nation. And they're correct in talking about the law of nations. But then they go farther. They are submitting documents, papers, from the Embassy of the Republic of Texas to the Registrar of the International Court of Justice, Jean Jacques Arnoldez, Deputy Registrar in The Hague. Now, the International Court of Justice is an agency of the United Nations, ladies and gentlemen. So when they do this, please find endorsed an international abatement at law of the previous appearance by notice of intent to perfect a notice to the Security Council of the United Nations with incorporated exhibits and original instruments of the provisional government of the Republic of Texas. You see, it doesn't jive. They want to establish their sovereignty as a nation, and when they file these documents with the International Court of Justice and the Security Council of the United Nations, they are saying, we are not sovereign. We recognize you as the world government and that you are the only ones capable of deciding whether or not we can be a nation. And so, on one hand, they're trying to establish sovereignty. On the other hand, they're giving it away. In the same breath, they're giving it away. You cannot submit to the jurisdiction and the rulings of the United Nations without recognizing yourself to be subservient to them. You cannot submit documents and decisions for rulings by the World Court without saying to the world, we are subservient and under the jurisdiction of the World Court. Now, I don't know if all of you understand all of what I just said, but it's clear. You cannot submit yourself for approval and for legitimacy to the Security Council of the United Nations without at the same time stating to the world that you are subject to the United Nations, you are under their jurisdiction, and you're not sovereign at all. So there's some double talk going on here. They're talking about reestablishing the sovereignty of the nation of the Republic of Texas, and in the very same breath, they're saying we are not sovereign. We are subject to the rulings of the United Nations and of the World Court. Therefore, we are a vassal people under that organization, and we recognize them as the world government. And maybe that's what this is intended to do. I don't know. But I can tell you when they did that, they made a very serious mistake. Very serious mistake. You cannot establish a sovereign anything if you recognize that something else has jurisdiction over you and can rule for or against you. And if you don't understand that, I don't have time to educate you on it. It's not that complicated, though. So, listen to this. This is one of the documents. Which document is it? Let me see if I can see which document this is. This is document number 4. Republic of Texas submits an international abatement of law of previous appearance by notice of intent to perfect notice to the Security Council of the United Nations. And it goes through all this legal stuff here, which, if they're submitting to their jurisdiction, is necessary. It says, under the law of nations, which is the foundation on which the Republic of Texas was founded, it has now reclaimed its right to self-judgment and determination under international law. Thus, the international political question is now moot and held res judicata and estoppel, reverting the full eminent domain and authority of the soil of Texas back to the Republic of Texas, ex rel, the people of the Republic of Texas. Now, listen to this. The common law has been restored by the lawful reinstitution of the sovereign nation of the Republic of Texas by and through its provisional government, thus dissolving the foreign military jurisdiction of the United States, which has controlled its territory and citizens since 1865, and thus certifying the February 2, 1861 resolution dissolving the Commonwealth, holding instituted by the March 1, 1845 resolution between the Republic of Texas, its people, and the United States of America. Notice of execution to the Security Council of the United Nations. The Republic of Texas, by this instrument, officially serves notice upon the Security Council of the United Nations that it expects that body to inform its members that the United States of America is expected to comply with the law of nations and honor its only lawful standing treaty with the Republic of Texas, perfected on October 13, 1838. After this notice, a copy of this document will be served on all foreign entities operating on the soil of Texas, thus beginning the process of relinquishing all operations and easements over to the government and the people of the Republic of Texas. Executed this the 18th day of December, 1995, in conformance with the directive issued by the government of the Republic of Texas. So, they're submitting themselves to the World Court and to the Security Council of the United Nations. Maybe they know something I don't. Everything that I've ever studied in my life says you're not sovereign if you do that. And if you do that, you are recognizing the World Court as a judicial body having jurisdiction over your so-called sovereign nation, which can't be sovereign if that is true. You're also recognizing the United Nations as the world government that sits the World Court and are submitting to their jurisdiction. So I think because of that, these people in Texas are going to have some serious, serious problems unless they're trying to establish those exact points, unless this is some kind of a deception. And I don't know if it is or not. I know some good people who believe in this or who are involved in it. They're not the leaders of it, and so wouldn't know if it was a deception or not, and they're not as adept at these things as I am and some of the other people that have studied the law are. I also know that if they don't have the full support of the majority of the population of Texas, this ain't gonna flock. My sister lives in Texas. My mother and father live in the state of Texas. I know hundreds of people who live in the state of Texas. Everyone that I've talked to who are not in on this thing never heard of it. They tell me that they don't want these guys taking the state of Texas out of the Union. I wonder what would happen if they held a vote with the populace tomorrow. I can tell you this, if they didn't have a majority of the people who live in the state of Texas on their side, it doesn't matter what they do. It ain't going to happen. Not in 100 million years. And that's why, folks, I've been trying to get you people to confront reality. You know, before they ever did any of this stuff, they should have mounted a political campaign in the state of Texas to educate the population about what was wrong with the process of admitting or taking the state of Texas into the Union, why it wasn't legal and lawful, and why they want to revert to a sovereign nation state called the Republic of Texas. and they would need to sway the majority of the population to support that action. And if they did it right, they might be successful. But without consulting the millions of people who live in the state of Texas, I don't know, you know, where do people come up with these things? You can't just go off by yourself. That's like me and I get six guys together. Me and six guys go down and decide to withdraw the state of Arizona from the union. And we establish a government and the six of us elect a president. It's not going to fly. Not in a million years. It's a wonderful game. It feels good. I can remember playing cowboys and Indians in the backyard. I mean, it was wonderful. We had a great time. But we weren't really cowboys and we weren't really Indians. And these guys aren't really presidents and vice presidents or anything else. They don't have the support of the people. It ain't going to fly. And I can tell you right now, they don't have a militia made up of men and women who are ready and willing to die for their cause. And if they don't have that, everything that they're doing is spinning in the wind. And the officials might let them play at this game and get away with it for a while. But when push comes to shove, they won't even need to go through a legal process. The people of the state of Texas who don't understand all this will just simply dismiss them out of hand and kick them right out of the state, probably. I don't understand why it is that so many people are living in a state of complete fantasy. And people are excited about this. But it's an extreme minority of people. They have no political clout. They have no power. They have no legal or political standing whatsoever, folks. Now, what do you think would happen if the World Court said, okay, we recognize that this, this, and this wasn't done right when the state of Texas was brought into the union, and so what we're going to do is grant you this provisional government status, and the state of Texas is now the Republic of Texas. How do you think all the people who live in the Republic of Texas who are on welfare, who are getting retirement checks, disability checks, Medicare, Medicaid, and all this other stuff from the federal government, what do you think they're going to say about this? What do you think they're going to say about these guys? And what do you think is going to happen immediately in the state of Texas? A political movement will rise up, and they will go through the process of admitting Texas into the union as a state. And in the meantime, they will have proven the subservience of the people of the state of Texas, and thus the United States, to the World Court, and that the United Nations is indeed the world government. Now, like I said at the beginning of this broadcast, if these people can prove that they're right, we'll help them any way that we can, but they're going about it the wrong way. They must educate the entire population of the state of Texas, and they must gain a consensus of the voters who will be on their side and support what they're doing. And without that, this ain't gonna fly. Even if they do that, they need a powerful military organization to back them. You see, even if it goes through, even if the World Court says, yeah, you're the Republic of Texas and you're not a state of the United States, the people in the state of Texas aren't going to buy it. They're not going to accept it. Too many of them are on the dole. Too many of them are giving subsidies, welfare checks, retirement checks, you name it, it's going on. Not only that, most of the population have been brainwashed to the point they don't understand any of this and would see it as a threat to their existence. So it's interesting, I can tell you that. And like I said, I hope that they can sincerely pull it off. But in looking at it realistically, I know that they're going about it the wrong way. They need to convince the people of Texas first that what they're doing is right, and they should have done that before they ever filed any papers. most of the citizens of the state of Texas are going to take this as an affront to them. Nobody asked them anything about it. And I'm sure it's appeared on the local news, and I'm sure the news broadcasters down there have sort of poo-pooed it and made fun of it, and I'm sure there's been some stories all over Texas about it. But I can assure you, from my contacts with the people in the state of Texas, nobody takes it seriously. Most people have never heard of it. They don't believe it when I tell them that it's happening. And if I try to convince them, they say, well, I don't care. I'm a United States citizen, and they can do whatever they want to do. The state of Texas is the state of Texas of the United States. And this kind of stuff goes on throughout the so-called patriot movement. And it drives me absolutely up a tree. Let me tell you something. You can't play with the real world like you do in your backyard when you play cowboys and Indians. The real world says if you don't have political support, you're not going to succeed. All of you in this common law court movement, I think it's great if you can establish a court. I think it's great if you can get back to the common law. I think it's wonderful if you can get people to come and argue their cases in your court, and that you can make rulings that are legally binding, and that you have law enforcement people who will enforce your rulings. But you don't. So you're playing games. And they will let you get away with it until you become some kind of a threat to the establishment, and then they'll do to you what they did to the common law court in the state of Florida. They'll simply come in one day and take everything and take you and lock you all up. And you may fight it for several years, and you may get your stuff back, and you may get out of jail, and you may not ever get convicted of anything, but what have you gained? Tell me, what have you gained? You have no standing. And let me tell you something else about these common law grand juries and the grand juries and the regular juries that you have in your common law courts. When you get a bunch of people together in a meeting who all think the same way, and this was the biggest problem with the debacle that they had in Wichita, Kansas, the National Common Law Court. When you take everybody who believe in one way, and they're all for the same thing, and you get them together in a room, and you choose your jury from those people, you have not chosen a jury, you have stacked the deck. You see, for a jury to be legal and lawful, it must be chosen from the general population. And you're all stacking the deck. You're choosing jurors from a pool that is stacked, that is made up of your friends and your patriot groups and your militia members. And it doesn't fly. And many of you, I guess in Wichita, Kansas, they had like 32 jurors and then 32 standby jurors, which made a total of 64 jurors. That doesn't fly either. Not only that, not only did they not pick them from the populace at large by a random selection process, and not only did they stack the deck with all people who believe the same way about the same things, they then chose the jurors by states. So, I'm not trying to run you people down. I'm just telling you that you've got to get your act together. You have to have a political consensus. You have to have political activism. You have to educate the people. You have to do it right. You can't stack the deck. And you can't get together and elect a president out of a population of millions by having 20 people vote for him. It's bullshit. And if you don't understand that, then we're all wasting our breath all the time. You can't do those things. It has to be done properly. If the law's on your side, if you're doing things the way it's supposed to do, and you've researched it, and you have the documentation, and the rulings, and the Supreme Court, and the blah, 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 all the way back through history on your side, you still have to do it right. You have to educate the population. If you establish a jury, you must select the jurors at random from the populace. You can't seat more than 24 jurors in a common law grand jury. From the history that I've studied, you can't seat less than 12 or more than 24. Actually, that's wrong. I think it's less than 6 or more than 24. And they have to be selected from the population at random. Otherwise, you've stacked the deck. You can't submit a population of millions without their knowledge or consent for a ruling to a world court. Then by who? Who elected you? What gives you the right to represent people who never even heard of you? You know, a lot of you are doing what you profess to be against. And I'm not telling you to stop it. I'm not asking you to stop what you're doing. I'm asking you to start doing it right. Stop doing it the way you played cowboys and Indians in the backyard. Stop thinking you have authority that you don't have. Stop doing it the wrong way and start doing it the right way, and then you may have a chance at success. In Wichita, Kansas, in this national grand jury where they had these 64 members of the jury, and they elected a clerk of the court. As soon as the clerk of the court spoke up and brought their attention to something they were doing wrong, they kicked the clerk out. This is insanity. Total insanity, folks. After we come back from the break, we'll go to the phones. See what you think about all of this stuff.
Every city, big city crime in every little town. There's people making money off Jesus, and taxes dragging everybody down. There's politicians kind of stretching the truth. And farmers are getting pulled up by the roots. And butchers telling little kids, I'm the only way. Welcome to the USA today. It's true, we got our problems. Lord knows we make mistakes. And every time.
The hour of the time, as always, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. I just heard from Annie that there's some noise on the satellite. I don't know what it is because it can't possibly be coming from here. She said the sound is not distorted. Sounds good. And so we'll just continue with the broadcast, and maybe tomorrow we can figure out what's going on. Apparently they've installed some new equipment at the uplink. Some of it isn't right, and supposedly it's supposed to be fixed tomorrow. We'll find out. So I apologize for the noise or static or whatever it is that you're getting. As long as you can hear me clearly and undistorted, though, that's really the main thing. If you'd like to get your hands on some real money, and I hope that all of you would like to do that, to protect your assets. By purchasing some non-reportable, non-confiscatable hard assets, which under the law is known as real money, if it's in a specific form, weight, and purity of metal, specifically silver, are the equivalent value in gold. Swiss America Trading deals in real money. They'll help you. They even have the rarest metal of all. Or not the rarest. There are rarer ones. But platinum, you know, is about 18 times less plentiful than gold. And right now the price of platinum is very close to the price of gold. And that's extremely unusual. It should not be that way for something that's 18 times as scarce. So platinum right now might be, I'm not saying that it is because I really don't know that much about it, but it might be a good investment in the form of coin. Some nations mint platinum as coin of the realm. So if you're interested in any of this, or if you're just interested in precious metals in general, call Swiss America Trading. Tell them that you're a steady listener to the Hour of the Time, and I guarantee you'll get red carpet service. And while you're at it, thank them for sponsoring this broadcast, because if they didn't, you wouldn't be hearing it, most likely. So call now, 1-800-289-2646. Talk to Frank. Frank will help you out, and I believe in loyalty. Frank's spending a lot of time with this broadcast, helped me out when I'm sick, and you're going to be hearing him every Thursday night. I don't know what happened last night. He was supposed to be on, and he wasn't here. But I haven't had time to call him either. But you'll hear him next Thursday, I'm sure. Call 1-800-289-2646 and get your assets together.
People, I think it's time we stop this running around. This world is going too fast and we'd like to slow it down. Don't let them talk you into doing what you don't want to. Just learn to say no and learn how to refuse. Cause you don't owe nobody nothing except God above. Go out and go after the things in life you love. Don't try to force it if it ain't going smooth. The one person that you should never try to fool is you. You can make it to the top, but only you'll know when to reach. And I am not just talking, cause I practice what I preach.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
I had called you, I guess, the day or the day after that happened. I did attend their inauguration of the president, and I did attend the international court.
Uh-huh.
And there were several things that disturbed me pretty bad about it, and I brought them up. I caught one of the officials going by. We sat in an old cotton gin out in the country, and I asked him, I said, well, why would we dare, if we're going to do this, send any kind of paper or try to get any kind of recognition from the very enemy that we have, which is the UN and the World Court?
That's right. That's recognition that you're not sovereign. It's submitting to their jurisdiction and their rule.
Well, here's what the man told me. He said, well, this is so that the United States government hasn't got a leg to stand on, because they are submissive to these tribunals and these courts. So in their own eyes, it shows that they are submissive. So it's kind of a mockery of the United States government by doing that.
Well, it's a mockery of everything. If they're trying to establish a sovereign nation, they can't do it by submitting to the rulership and the ruling of the United Nations.
Exactly, and I brought that up, but I was considered kind of a wet blanket on the affair.
You know, it's a shame that people think if you say something that is against what they're doing, they think you're an enemy or a wet blanket, when the truth is you were absolutely right and they should have been listening to you.
Well, the man, I think his name is Richard McLaren. You'll see him on there. I think he's the ambassador.
Uh-huh.
The man has done extensive research and legal work, and I think what he's uncovered is probably true and is probably legal, but the way it was done was wrong. Many counties did have an opportunity to send delegates down there. It's like anything else. You have to be out there and be listening for the information to get it.
Yeah, but why would they send delegates when they probably think that they're all crazy? Nobody bothered to educate them or anything. I mean, I'll bet you not very many counties as governmental bodies sent delegates, did they?
Well, I would tell you that it's probably so that you have, and I don't agree with this, don't get me wrong, I'm not agreeing with this, it's so that you can't have the deck unstacked, if you know what I mean.
Well, to do it properly, they have to have representation, legitimate representation of the whole of the people to which they're trying to do this to.
I agree, because we have, besides California and New York, we probably have the highest welfare state of any in the union.
That's right. And if you think those people are going to give up their money because somebody's done a little research, you've got another thing coming.
No, sir. They'll come unwound, and they'll be the cannon fodder for whoever comes in to take over the alleged Republic of Texas. Let me tell you what else happened, and this made my skin crawl. There was a computer terminal over against one wall, and many people got up and expatriated their U.S. citizenship and became Republic of Texas citizens and put their thumbprint on a document and sent it off somewhere.
They officially renounced their citizenship?
Officially renounced their citizenship with witnesses and a thumbprint.
Extremely foolish. Whether you're a state citizen or not, you are a citizen of the United States of America. And if you renounce that citizenship, you've given up all rights and protections guaranteed to you by the Constitution or anything else.
Well, it makes them committed. They now have nowhere to run to. This is their turf, and I would presume that now they have nowhere to go.
Wow.
Now, here's another thing that you'll find interesting, and this is, I personally believe that the freedom of this country was overthrown with the Constitutional Convention in 1787.
You're absolutely correct. They weren't representing the people.
Right.
And the contract was never signed. It was only witnessed. In the eyes of the law, the Articles of Confederation are still the binding contract with the people.
Exactly. I believe we had a bunch of nice little cute illuminated Freemasons go in there and overthrow our republic at that point.
Boy, it's so nice to talk to an intelligent person. I can't believe it.
Well, a lot of that is a product of reading what you've written and going out and studying it on my own, because at first I thought this guy's crazy, but, reading the facts speak for themselves. Here's another thing you'll find interesting is look at the number of officials that were elected, and now look at the date that these things happened, and you'll see an interesting correlation.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Why don't you elaborate on that so that our listeners will know?
Okay, the number 13 in the occult is the number of death, rejuvenation, etc.
That's right.
And here, now, I don't know, for all we know, good old Lucifer could have put it in somebody's mind to have these things work out on these dates and with this number, but who knows? I would suspect that you probably got a little trickery in there, but then again, you never know. I don't know if we've got to say a Freemason on that in that organization or whether it's just a coincidence, but come on, Bill.
I don't believe in coincidence.
I don't either.
At all.
So I'm holding back on this and just watching it and watching to see, see what kind of fruits that are shown.
What they're doing that I see so far is possibly a good thing if their research is sound and is cemented in the law. That could be a good thing. I can also see that they're doing a terrible thing by recognizing the United Nations as the world governing body and the world court as superior to all states and all nations. And that, to me, is disgusting.
Well, to me, it was a fatal flaw. They should never have done that, and that really had turned me off of it. I could think maybe coincidence on the 13 officers and the date of the 13th, but then whenever I see the recognition of the UN, it makes me sick.
And that's why I said earlier that there's something really, really wrong with this. I was waiting until I got all their documents to make any kind of a decision on what these people were doing, because I really didn't know. I'd heard about it, I'd read about it, people had called me and talked to me about it, but now that I have the documents in my position, they're making a fatal mistake. Not only fatal for them, but fatal for all patriots in this country. It's another recognition of the United Nations as the world governing body and the world court as superior to all courts, all nations, and all states, and all peoples, I might add.
I agree. I have seen some of the work, and that Mr. McLaren does excellent research, and there's another phrase on there that made my skin crawl, and it's that sustainable survivability or whatever crap that was. It sounds just like a UN Agenda 21 document, you know. And why are we using the same language? We're doing the biometric identification of our citizens already. If we're the Republic, why in the hell are we doing this to ourselves? We're like giving up one Roman Empire to embrace another.
Well, what bothers me is that so many people just jump on all of these different bandwagons without even knowing what in the world they're doing, what it's all about. They don't do any personal research. They just take it for granted that these guys know what they're doing. And, you know, they think that they're awake. They think that they're doing the right thing. But the truth is, they're just more sheeple.
Well, the man that they elected president, and he's very much on the ball. I can assure you that, and I can also assure you that the...
How many people voted for this guy?
I wasn't there. I missed that day, but the inauguration day, I made it there.
How many people were there?
At the inauguration, at the election or the inauguration?
The election.
I'm not sure, Bill.
How many were at the inauguration?
The inauguration, I would tell you that in the public crowd, there was probably close to 200. But let me put all the guys up and down the streets that right. Had security badges on for the Republic of Texas.
Don't let me ask you something. How many people live in the state of Texas?
Several million.
Several million. Now, do you think that 200 people are legitimate in voting for a president to represent 200 or how many million?
Many million. I don't know the figures.
But do you think that that's right?
No, just like I don't think the Constitutional Convention of 1787 was right. It was the same trick. The same thing.
That's exactly correct.
And I hate to say it, but folks, we've done the same thing here that we're against. And I think perhaps we can, you know, maybe their intention is to educate more people to pick up steam to carry the thing over the top, but what we did was still wrong. It was no different than what our enemies do. It was a Kabul affair.
Yeah, well, I'm not, you know, like I said, I'm not telling anybody to stop. What I'm saying is turn around and do it right.
Well, I think their intentions are good. I think it may happen that way, but I'll tell you this, Bill. I'm not going to go put my thumbprints on a piece of paper here to get a driver's license, and I'm damn sure not going to go put my thumbprints to get a Texas passport.
Smart man.
No more. You know, I've been a fool long enough, and I'm not going to play it anymore.
Good for you. Okay, thank you for calling.
Okay, bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, it's Lee and Jean giving a call from the way cold north. Been noticing a trend that's been occurring here concerning this common law. And we've been researching it for a couple years now. And James Madison was very clear on why written constitutional law was needed. He stated that common law does not protect freedom of assembly, of religion, or of speech.
That's right. The common law, regardless of what everybody has been teaching you, was the law that the king accepted for the rulership of the people who existed beneath him and beneath his people, his lords and the dukes and all of that kind of thing.
Right.
And they had two different courts. They had the Court of Lords and they had the Court of Kings. And nobody was really free back then. They say that the common law is the law for free men. The common law was developed when nobody was ever free.
Right, right. We've done a bit of research. One of the books that's very interesting on the topic is The Bill of Rights by Irving Brandt.
Uh-huh.
It was published by the New American Library in 1968. And they did a very good analysis on what happened with William Penn in England and why he was taken to trial under the common law there. And he asked for an example of it in writing, and they could not produce it for him. he was convicted and exiled because of his religious views. One of the things that we've noticed, we've been reviewing many of the common law documents that are being produced, such as what came out of the Kansas City event that happened last year. And there is...
Was it Kansas City? It was Wichita.
Yeah, Wichita. I'm sorry, Wichita, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And there was quite a bit of religious...
Religious language.
Language in there, which would, again, be apparently trying to establish...
A Christian nation.
Yeah, some form of state religion.
That's exactly what they're doing. And it's wrong. And it's not going to fly.
Right, because we will never get any consensus across this nation for the establishment of any particular religion.
The day that you do, they'll start burning people at the stake again.
Yeah, exactly right. Constitutional law. We have to have constitutional courts and constitutional law. The current courts we do have, these admiralty courts, are very unconstitutional. But again, if we go and try to establish common law courts, we're going back into some form of theocratic government.
It's feudal law is what it is.
Yeah, and it will be just as anti-freedom as what they're trying to replace, which currently is in effect also, which is, again, very unconstitutional law.
Yeah.
Has anybody been out there looking at establishing constitutional courts instead of these common law courts?
Let me tell you something. People are doing so many different things all over the place, most of them not doing it right, whatever they're doing. Some people, in some instances, are doing a lot of things right, but they're a very small minority. And the rest of the people are doing things, you know, there's also a section of people that are doing everything wrong, guaranteed to get them in deep trouble.
So exactly. That's why I was wondering when you were reviewing the stuff from the... from Texas tonight, I see this combination of acknowledging the United Nations as some form of world government, which I absolutely am against, and then they're also tying in common law, and it's like, it almost seems like these people are looking to create some form of disaster for the people of Texas.
Well, I don't know how it's all going to turn out. I don't have a crystal ball, and I don't really know enough about what they're doing to make any kind of prediction. I can just tell you that what they're doing is wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I can tell you, and I can tell you that with absolute certainty beyond any shadow of a doubt.
We really do need to look at setting up constitutional courts and procedures and to get out from under this continuous state of national emergency, which is really running still. And what we're going to have to do it in such a way that the average American will be able to comprehend what we're doing and not look at it and say, okay, this is some bunch of religious nuts trying to take over the country for their, in the name of whatever church it is.
Well, and until we gain control of at least one of the major media outlets, that's never going to happen, I can assure you right now. That's why I started Veritas, and it's growing by leaps and bounds. But it's going to take a long time before it competes with the New York Times. And at one point, a couple of years ago, I tried to get people interested. They kept complaining, the media's control, the media lies to us, the media's brainwashing us. Okay, what's the answer to that? Buy the media. We had a stock program going. We were going to take over a major media corporation in this country and turn it around and force them to tell the truth. And if they didn't, we'd fire every executive in the company. But guess what?
Yeah, we followed the whole thing with Gannett, and
all these people who complain about the media being controlled wouldn't take some money out of their pockets and buy the stock.
Right. You know what's so frightening is people that want to restore the constitutional American United States, the people that want to do that are being almost turned off because of all the different angles that are being promoted that are non-constitutional, such as the racism, the sexism. You've dealt with the racism. I've dealt with it, the sexism.
We've dealt with that, too. Like I said last night, we have some extremely high-ranking women in the Second Continental Army of the Republic.
Oh, yes, that's excellent. if we're ever going to gain the popular support of Americans across the nation, we have to establish the fact that we are reasonable, logical, non-fanatical people. We are absolutely bound by the Constitution and what it means, and that we are firm in our principles. And until this occurs, the media is going to just thrive. The crazy people on the networks and everything else will just eat up anything that comes along in order to make it look like it's bad. I was reading a news...
Well, they'll do that no matter how together and how right you are.
Right,
you
well, as an example...
You have to own your own segment of the media.
Right.
The press is not free. The media is not objective. They promote the agenda of the owners.
Oh, absolutely. Well, one of the things that was going on, too, that's really scary, is the environmentalist movement is now apparently launching a campaign to discredit militias. Picked up a copy of what's called Great Lakes United today.
Let them. Even liberals don't like the environmental movement.
Right.
Who cares what they do?
Even environmentalists here have attempted to link the Oklahoma bombing to the Wise Youth Movement, which we're familiar with, and to the militia movement, right in their own words right here.
The militia has never spiked trees or tried to kill anybody.
Right.
The environmental movement does that.
I know, they're crazy. And
we're out of time.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
And thanks so much, and keep up the good work.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye.
Folks, I'm going to say this again. I don't want you to stop trying all these alternative ways of making things right. What I want you to do is stop doing the wrong alternative things and stop doing the right alternative things wrong. You cannot continue in this manner and have any kind of respect or legitimacy or recognition whatsoever. All you will do is bring down the wrath of the majority of the sheeple on all of us. And you can say you don't care about them if you want to. They hold the political power. The majority always holds the political power. The militias can garner a tremendous amount of that power if we form them right and if we do the things I've suggested for the first four nights of this week, and if we become a political force and not a bunch of idiots running around in the woods playing cowboys and Indians. We're not a paramilitary organization. We are a military organization existing under the law to enforce the laws of the Union, suppress insurrection, and repel invasion. The laws of the Union are not being enforced. And there is a strong insurrection that's been going on for many years. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless you all.
Country road on the wind it comes to call, and it sings in the farms and the factory towns, and where you think there'd be no song at all. And the words are the words that our fathers said as they whistled down the years, and the name of the song is the name of the dream, and it's music to our ears. America, America, and the dream. House walls are the words that make us free, and the more we remember. remember the way we began, the closer we get to the best we can be. Whenever a time we forgot its worth, all the struggles and the scars, if we leave to the children a sky full of hope and a flag filled with stars, amen.